Now, we're holding on to Samach Hei Amud Beis in the middle of the Mishnah, five lines from the bottom. We left what off like this. Five lines from the bottom of Samach Hei Amud Beis.
Samach Hei Amud Beis.
Yeah. We started by learning that there are certain things of the Korban Pesach, certain activities regarding the Korban Pesach that are Doicha Shabbos. Namely, those are the things that have to be done on Shabbos itself. So the shchita of the korban, the sprinkling of the blood, the cleaning out of the kishkis to take the waste out of them so they don't spoil, and burning the fat. Then we started talking about various things which are not things that necessarily have to be done on Shabbos. For example, carrying the animal to the Azara or walking it to the Beis Mikdash from outside the Tchum, or if it has a wart, cutting it off would be a Malacha Daraisa, but biting it off or taking it off with one's nails or whatever, would be only Drabanan. And we still said that the Tanakhama of the Mishnah had said that those still are not Dercha Shabbos, because those are things that could have been done before Shabbos. Now, Rabbi Eliezer started arguing that no, those things are Doicha Shabbos. So we had before in the Mishnah, we had Rabbi Eliezer trying to make a Kavah Chomer. He says, after all, Shchita is a Malacha D'oraisa, and we do it on Shabbos, so how much more so? These kinds of things, which are only Yisurim D'Rabbanan, should be Doicha Shabbos. Rabbi Yeshua tries to disprove that based on Yom Tov, where there are certain malachas that are mutter, but the rabbanans are still also. But Rabbi Eliezer tells him that's not a valid proof, because there you're talking about things that are reshus, things that are optional. Here we're talking about a mitzvah, that's something else. So this is where we're up to, five lines from the bottom. Heishiv Rabbi Akiva v'Omar, so Rabbi Akiva replied and said, he brought up an argument to Rabbi Eliezer. By the way, the Yerushalmi tells us an interesting thing. We know that Rabbi Akiva was a Talmud of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua for many years. The Yerushalmi tells us this was 13 years after Rabbi Akiva had come to the yeshiva, and this is the first time that he's actually responding to Rabbi Eliezer in a discussion in halacha. Up until that point, he'd just been sitting there soaking up everything he hears and teaching it to other people. We learn in Ksubas that he came back home the first time after 12 years, and he already had 12,000 and Talmidim, but this is the first time that he had actually spoken up to Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer had always figured that Rabbi Akiva, you know, he always figured this Talmud Akiva is something of a lightweight. He never realized how great he was. Now, when it's in this discussion and Rabbi Akiva is getting up to speak, and Rabbi Yeshua knows better than Rabbi Eliezer what Rabbi Akiva is really made out of, so he tells Rabbi Eliezer an expression, he borrows an expression from Sefer Shoftim, this is the people that you thought are nothing, now go out and fight against them. In other words, Rabbi Eliezer, you're going to see that this Talmud, Akiva, who you thought was a nothing, was a lightweight, you're going to see that he's going to beat you in this discussion. Anyway, so Rabbi Akiva says, Hazar Techiach. We can prove that these drabbanans should be osir on Erev Pesach, Shchalias B'Shabbos, by considering the case of Hazar, sprinkling a person with Parah Adumah water to make him tahor so he should be able to bring the Korban Pesach and eat it. Now, Rashi explains, so we're talking about, we know that Parah Adumah water has to be sprinkled on the third and seventh day of the person's Tumah. So Rashi describes the scenario, we're talking about the seventh day of his Tara falls out on Erev Pesach Shechalias B'Shabbos. Now, Midrabanan, even though Midaraisa, there's no problem with sprinkling Parah Adumah water on Shabbos, Midrabanan there is. It's another example of these Shvusim. Rashi mentions the idea, because it's like masakin. It's like you're fixing the person. We know there's a malacha daraisa to fix kalim and things. So medirabanan we can't do things that are like fixing a person and making him suitable to do something that he could now where he couldn't before. So hazah is an example of a shavus. And the enek vehimishum shavus. So shehimishum mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to sprinkle him. First of all, in general, there's a mitzvah to be metahar a mess. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs. It's the whole process of tumah v'tahara. Second of all, in this case, it's four mitzvah to allow him to eat from the korban pesach. Vehimishum shavus. Yet it's also as a shavus. The enek doicha as a shabbos. And with all of that, it's not doicha shabbos. Now, why taka not? Rashi further on explains, at the beginning of the next Amud, that the reason is because we're only Doicha Shabbos for things that are part of the actual korban itself. The Hazah, sprinkling the sky with Parah Adumah water, even though that's an essential prerequisite, because without it he can't eat from the korban Pesach, it's not part of the guf of the Pesach, therefore it's not Doicha Shabbos. which, by the way, it comes out according to Rashi, that let's say, for example, now we said, let's say in the case of a wart, that you can't cut it off on Shabbos because it could have been done before Shabbos. What if the wart grew on Shabbos? According to Rashi's explanation, maybe you would be able to, even according to the Chachamim, maybe you would be able to bite it off on Shabbos, because after all, you couldn't have done anything with it before Shabbos, and it is part of the body of the Korban, and without it, the Korban is fossil. On the other hand, another way, the Rambam has a whole different way of looking at this business of Hazah. The Rambam Bechlal explains that if a person was sprinkled with Parah Adumah water on Erev Pesach, that's not enough for them to eat the Korban Pesach that night, because on Erev Pesach afternoon, he's still partially Tomei, he still needs Erev Shemesh. So the Rambam learns the latest that you could sprinkle him, and the sprinkling would work for him to be able to eat the Korban Pesach, would be if he was sprinkled the last time on the 13th of Nisan. So the Rambam learns that the scenario over here is talking about Shabbos comes out on the 13th of Nisan, and the reason why we can't sprinkle him is as follows. Because what are we doing? We're saying that we should override a Shavuos on the 13th of Nisan in order to allow him to bring the Korban Pesach and eat it on the 14th of Nisan. We're not going to do that, says the Rambam. It's one thing to override Shabbos for something that needs to be done that day, but not for something that just needs to be done in order to prepare for the next day, even though without it, he's not going to be able to eat from the Korban Pesach, because what's going to happen, according to the Rambam Shitta, you're going to delay sprinkling him until Sunday at a Pesach. Well, he's still not going to be able to eat the Korban Pesach. So the fact is, by you not allowing him to be sprinkled on Shabbos, you're preventing him from eating the Korban Pesach and forcing him to bring a Pesach Sheni. The Rambam says, yes, we do that. In any case, another way of looking at it is, so related way of looking at it then, is even something that maybe not a coin, maybe different than Rashi, would be that even something that couldn't have been done before Shabbos, like in this case, sprinkling the person, and even though, in the case, let's say even in the case of the wart, even if it grew on Shabbos, you might say, we look at the type of activity that's being done. If it's a type of activity that could have been done before Shabbos, then we can't do it on Shabbos, even if in this particular instance, there was no other alternative but to do it, but you couldn't have done it before Shabbos. Let's say if a wart grew on Shabbos, or in this case, if the person has to be sprinkled on Shabbos. Another way of looking at it, then, is that even then, we're not going to allow it to be done on Shabbos. Only things like the Shchita, which have to be done on Shabbos and never can be done before, and never can be done any earlier than Erev Pesach, those kinds of things are going to be done to Shabbos, even according to the Chachamim. Anyway, getting back to the Mishnah, so Rabbi Akiva is arguing as follows. So we see that by Hazar, now you, he says to Rabbi Eliezer, you argued against Rabbi Yeshua that from his proof from Yom Tov, because there it's only optional to eat or whatever, to eat this thing or whatever it is on Yom Tov, and therefore we say we're not over dinim d'rabbanan for it. And you said that's no good because here we're talking about mitzvah. Okay, Hazar is a mitzvah, but yet it's also d'rabbanan. Ve'ena d'rechas a Shabbos, but it doesn't. We don't override Shabbos in order to sprinkle the person so that he can eat the parah aduma. Af atal tismal elu. Therefore, he says to Rabbi Eliezer, don't you wonder about these things that we mentioned, like carrying the animal or cutting off the wart or whatever? Af api shehein mishum mitzvah. Even though they're needed for the mitzvah, bring the korban pesach. Ve'hein mishum shvus. But since they're also d'rabbanan, lo yidchu es haShabbos, and they shouldn't override Shabbos. Amalei Rabbi Eliezer, so Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Akiva, v'aleha anidan. As a matter of fact, actually, you're telling me, as a given, that Hazar is not Deicha Shabbos, actually, I would argue that it is Deicha Shabbos, for the same reason. Uma'im shchita shimalashim malacha Deicha Shabbos, the same kavachimer as he used before. Just like if shchita, which is an Issa Daraisa, is Deicha Shabbos, when Erev Pesach on Shabbos, Hazar shimishim shvus, so Hazar, which is only also Dirabbanon, ain't a din shdeicha Shabbos. Shouldn't it be a kavachimer that it's Deicha Shabbos? Now, as a matter of fact, the Gemara is going to tell us later on that actually Rabbi Eliezer had previously taught Rabbi Akiva that Hazar is not Deicha Shabbos. Even Rabbi Eliezer, who holds that you can do on Shabbos various things that are also Mishum Shavus, he would agree that Hazar is not one of them. The problem is, the Gemara tells us later on Daf Samach Tes, Rabbi Eliezer had forgotten that. So now, Rabbi Akiva, out of Derech Eretz, he didn't want to openly tell Rabbi Eliezer, you've forgotten what you taught me, and in fact, your Kavachomer is invalid because you yourself taught me that Hazar is not Derech Shabbos. Instead, Rabbi Akiva tried, in a respectful way, to show Rabbi Eliezer that he himself should realize his mistake. So Amalei Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva says to Rabbi Eliezer, Oy Chiluf, if you're going to make a Kavachomer that way, then maybe we could flip around the Kavachomer. If we take it as a given that Hazar is not Deicha Shabbos, not like you're saying, then ma'im hazar shem yishum shvus ain't a deuches Shabbos. We could argue the other way around. Hazar, which is only a drabbanon, is not deuches Shabbos. Shchita shem yishum malacha ain't a din shalay tidches Shabbos. Then the shchita, which is also, it's one of the 39 malachas, how much more so it shouldn't override Shabbos. So if you're going to work the kavach, if you're going to use a kavach chomer, you could end up saying that the shchita doesn't take place on Shabbos. Amalei Rabbi Yezer, so Rabbi Yezer says, Akiva, a karta, mashakosav Torah. In that case, then you're uprooting something that it says in the Torah, where it says, b'moyadoi, it says that you bring the Korban Pesach, b'moyadoi, in its time, which means, bein b'chol, bein b'shabbos, whether Erev Pesach is on weekday or on Shabbos, as we'll see in the Gemara, the whole discussion of that. So therefore, your kavachomer is no good. Amalei, so Rabbi Akiva says, fine, but Rebbe, but you know what? Show to me that if in that case, if you want to argue that Hazar and these other Dirabonans should be Deucha Shabbos, then you have to be able to show that there is a Moyed, that there's a specific time for those which can't be earlier and can't be later, just like there is for Shchita. In other words, again, the Shchita has to take place on Erev Pesach afternoon, whether it's weekday or Shabbos. There's no getting around that. On the other hand, these kinds of things that we're talking about, the carrying the animal, the cutting off the biting off the wart, etc., all of those things could have been done before Shabbos. Hazar also, okay, Hazar does have a defined time because it has to take place on the seventh day, but on the other hand, it's not part of the goof of the Korban Pesach. So therefore, so you can't say that B'moyado necessarily applies. You can't say that B'moyadoi applies to those things. Okay. So the discussion ended over there. Whether Rabbi Eliezer ended up accepting what Rabbi Akiva is saying, we don't know. We do find Rabbi Eliezer holds his shitta in many places in Shas. We learned in Masechta Shabbos, for example, that prerequisites for a mitzvah, that's Deucha Shabbos, are also Deucha Shabbos, like we had by Bris Mila, where he would allow you to bring a knife or even to make a knife, etc. But in any case, though, Rabbi Yeshua had pointed out to Rabbi Eliezer, like we said before, that now you should start respecting this Talmud, Rabbi Akiva. He knows what he's talking about. So now Rabbi Eliezer discovered that's true. So from then on, he had much more respect for Rabbi Akiva. Anyway, Klal Omer Rabbi Akiva, so the Mishnah finishes off. Rabbi Akiva formulated a general rule. Any malacha that could have been done before Shabbos, for example, carrying the animal. And again, when you say malacha, we don't even mean a malacha daraisa. We mean even something which is also drabbanon. For example, the carrying the animal where we said before that according to the opinion that chai noseh satzmo, that living animals help carry themselves because they bear some of their own weight, then it's only an issu drabbanon. But even those things, it could have been done erev Shabbos, ena doiches Shabbos. Nevertheless, it's not doiches Shabbos. Only shchita, when it comes to the shchita and other things like that, like we mentioned in the beginning of the Mishnah, she'i efshal asoyse be'erev Shabbos, that can't be done on Erev Shabbos, because the Torah tells us it has to be done on Erev Pesach afternoon, doiches Shabbos, that kind of thing is doiches Shabbos. So again, when we say over here things that could have been done before Erev Shabbos, one explanation is that we mean even things that in this particular instance could have only been done on Shabbos. Let's say, for example, again, the wart grew on Shabbos. Or let's say the guy was in jail up until now and he was only freed on Shabbos and therefore he wasn't physically able to bring the korban before Shabbos. But nevertheless, these are types of things that could have been done before Shabbos and therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva's rule, they're not done for Shabbos. Okay. So the Gemara starts off. We learn in a Braisa, halacha zunis alma mibnei b'seira. This halacha that bringing the Korban Pesach is doicha Shabbos nis alma mibnei b'seira was hidden, was forgotten by the bnei b'seira. The Bnei B'Seira were a group of Chachamim who were in charge of the Sanhedrin at this point. So we're talking about, as we're going to go on to say in the story, this was in the times of Hillel and Shammai, so we're talking 100 years before Churban Bayis Sheni. But one of these Bnei B'Seira was serving as acting Nasi of the Sanhedrin at that time. So the Mefarshim over here don't specifically explain why. One explanation is that it was a very dangerous time. Hurdus had taken power only a couple of years earlier, and we know that he was a very paranoiac and violent and all around mean guy. We know from the Gemara and Baba Basra he killed many of the Chachamim. So it might just be that the Chachamim had decided at that point that it's too dangerous to appoint a regular Nasi. Whatever it is, right now the Sanhedrin is functioning without a real Nasi, only kind of an acting Nasi, one of these Bnei B'Seira. So now, one Erev Pesach came out on Shabbos, and the B'nai B'Seder forgot this halacha, that Pesach is Doicha Shabbos. So Pamach, Aschala Ba, Asadiyas B'Shabbos, one time the 14th of Nisan came out on Shabbos, Shachu, so they forgot. V'lo Yodu in Pesach Doicha Shabbos in love. They didn't know if the Korban Pesach is Doicha Shabbos or not. Now, the obvious question is, I mean, okay, it's not that common that Erev Pesach comes out on Shabbos, but it's not so rare. It doesn't happen only once in a lifetime either. We're going to have it this year, for example, it's scheduled to be. It's the first time in 13 years. The Yerushalmi writes that when they were Mekadosh al Piyariya, the maximum you can have is you could go two Shmittas, 14 years, without Erev Pesach on Shabbos. Nobody remembered what happened last time around. So there's a vast number of different answers. The Yerushalmi itself gives an answer that this was caused min hashamayim because this led to Hillel being elevated and becoming the Nasi, as we're going to continue further in the story, and therefore it was brought about min hashamayim in order to make that happen. But you have various achronim give a vast number of different answers. The Tzlach over here says it wasn't that they forgot that Erev Pesach that you bring the Korban Pesach if it comes out on Shabbos. What it was is they forgot that what they should have done a few weeks earlier, they should have made an Ibuyer, or they should have made a 30-day Adar in order to prevent this happening in the first place. And therefore they didn't, and now they have the question what to do. Different other achronim give various answers. Maybe they weren't concerned about the Korban Pesach itself. The Pnei Yeshua explains maybe they were only concerned about the question, do we burn the emurim, the fats and whatever of the Korban that has to be brought on the Mizbeach, do we do that on Shabbos? There's an answer that maybe most of the Jewish people weren't living in Eretz Yisrael at that time, so maybe it's not Doicha Shabbos anymore. Maybe now that there are Isurim Dirabbanan, then maybe it's not Doicha Shabbos anymore, whereas it used to be. You find, for example, in fact, that the first Korban Pesach that the Jewish people brought in the desert the year after Yetzias Mitzrayim, Erev Pesach was Shabbos that year, and obviously they brought the Korban Pesach. But again, the difference could be, first of all, you didn't have most of the Dirabbanans, you had the whole Jewish people over there. That itself might have been because of a special command to Moshe. Maybe ordinarily you don't do that. And there's a lot of other different answers as well. One interesting one is from Reb Zelig Reuven Bengis, who was the Rav of Yerushalayim in the 40s and early 50s. He gives an answer that maybe the question over here was not about the regular Pesach, but rather Pesach Sheni. So we always learn that we always understand that it means that this happened on Erev Pesach itself. But he says maybe the question was actually about Pesach Sheni, whether that's Doicha Shabbos. Anyway,
we learned that you make a second Adar only if it doesn't fall out to be B'moedah. If this one falls out and the season is changing too much, that's when you...
It's true, you don't usually make a second Adar unless you need it in order to keep Pesach in its proper season. However, the Sanhedrin does have a certain flexibility on that. For example, in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh that Amma mentions, based on a Gemara and Sanhedrin, that they would usually try, where possible, to make an Ibuyer in the year before Shemitah, because that way it extends the time for the farmers to be able to do agricultural work that year. So they had a certain flexibility built in that they could have made an extra Ibuyer, or they could have been working out for months in advance. They could have been manipulating a little bit when Rosh Chodesh is, a day here, a day there, in order to get it that Erev Pesach is not on Shabbos. So in this case, they didn't. Again, according to the Tzlach, that's the actual halacha they forgot. Not so much what you do if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, but they forgot the halacha that they should have manipulated things to prevent that from happening in the first place. Anyway. Amru, so they said, Klum yesh adam shiyadeya in Pesach doiches haShabbos im lav. Is there anybody here who knows whether the Pesach is doiches haShabbos or not? Amru lahem, so people told them, Adam echad yesh sha'olami bavel. There is a certain person over here who came up from Bavel, the Hillel HaBavli Shmoy. His name is Hillel HaBavli. Sheshimish shnei gdoyle ador shmai bavt. In the previous generation, he had studied under and he had served as a G'dolei Shimusha Yosef Limuda. As we know, serving a Talmid Chacham is greater than even learning under him. So he learned by and served under Shmaya and Avtalion, the two great Chachamim of the previous generation. V'yedeya in Pesach Doiches HaShabbos im lav. He's bound to know whether Pesach is Doiches HaShabbos or not. So Shochu v'Kodoloi, so they sent and called for him. And they asked him, Klumati Adair, Ima Pesach Doiches HaShabbos im lav. Do you happen to know whether the Pesach is Doiches HaShabbos or not? Amalahem. So he says to them, I'll prove to you that it can. What, you think we only have one thing like the Korban Pesach every year that's Doicha Shabbos? We have over 200 Korbanos throughout the year that are similar to the Korban Pesach in that they're Doicha Shabbos. Namely, you have the Tmidim and you have the Musafim. Rashi calculates you have at least 50 Shabbosim during a year. In a leap year, you have even more, but even in a regular year, you have 50 Shabbosim. Each Shabbos, you have two sheep brought for the Korban Tamid and two for the Korban Musaf of Shabbos. So that alone gives you 200. Then you have Shabbos during Pesach and Shabbos during Sukkot. Then you have Musafim as well. You have 7 extra sheep on Pesach, 14 on Sukkot. Plus you have different other Mephoshim point out. You also have if Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur or Shavuos comes out on Shabbos. Plus during the year, you're going to have at least one Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbos. You have well over 200 Korbanos throughout the year that are brought on Shabbos. So therefore, so what makes you wonder about the Korban Pesach? It should be the same thing. Now, they never had a suffix about those korbanos, fine, but they had a suffix about the Korban Pesach, as we're going to go on to say. So they said, how do you know that we should compare the Korban Pesach to the Korban Tamid and the Korban Musaf? So he says to them, by Gzeira Shava, Nema Moya Deva Pesach, and Nema Moya Deva Tamid. The Pasuk says by the Korban Pesach that they should bring it B'moya Doi in its time. It also says B'moya Doi by the Korban Tamid. So Gzeira Shava tells us, Ma Moya Doi Ha'amma B'Tamid, Doiches and Shabbos. Now, just like when it says B'moya Doi by the Korban Tamid, we say every day in Davin, Tishmud Lahakru Li B'moya Doi, that means that it takes place on Shabbos as well, as we're going to show later down the Amud how we know that. The same thing has to be true on, with the Pesach as well because of this Gzeira Shava. Actually, Tosfos points out on the face of it, you shouldn't even need that. Maybe the word B'moyadoi itself means that it takes place on Shabbos. After all, B'moyadoi means in its time, meaning whenever its time is, even if it happens to be on Shabbos. So Tosfos actually mentions that you actually have a Machlokas Tanoim within that. You have Machlokas Tanoim, where you do have Tanoim who learn that the word B'moyadei all by itself means that it's on Pesach. In the Mishnah, we kind of use that. In the Mishnah, Rabbi Yezer had said that when the Tertus of B'moyadei means Bein B'chol Bein B'Shabbos, so without even needing the Gzeder Shavah. But here, Hillel didn't hold of that. B'moyadei could mean in its time, unless it's on Shabbos, therefore he needs the Gzeder Shavah. Okay, furthermore, Hillel points out, besides the Gzeira Shava, we have a Kavachoymer as well. If they don't bring the Korban Tamid, there's no Isur Kores involved. There's a Mitzvah Saseh, Tishmeru Lahakru, Libamayadoi, and they're failing to do that. And yet, Doiches Shabbos, yet we're saying that the Korban Tamid is brought even on Shabbos, and the Malachas of Shkita and whatever override Shabbos. Pesach sh'onush koris. So then the Korban Pesach, failure to bring the Korban Pesach as a chi of koris, ein adin sh'doiches Shabbos, how much more so that it should be doiches Shabbos. So you prove to them that the Korban Pesach is brought on Shabbos, and then according to the various other explanations, he proved to them that you do still burn the Emurim, just like you would of the Talmud, or that you don't say that even though most of the Jewish people are in an Eretz Yisrael, that you shouldn't, or even though they could be mafkir their karka, they shouldn't, etc., etc. All of this shows that the Pesach is like the Talmud in that regard, and no matter what, you bring it on Shabbos. Actually, it mentions in Sifra, the beginning of Sifra has the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel that we say every morning in davening, and then it goes through the details explaining applications of each of these 13 midas, and then at the end it mentions that Hillel, in this discussion with Bnei Beseira, ended up using 7 of these midas. He used, as we have over here in the Gemara, Kavachomer and Zera Shava. He also used, what else did he use? He used Klala Prat, he used Binyan Av, etc. So he used seven different midas, Shatona Dreshes Behem, in the course of this argument. So the Gemara says, Miyad Hoshivuhu Barosh, immediately then the Bnei Beseira resigned their position as heads of the Sanhedrin, and they appointed him as Nasi. Uminu Nasi Aleim, and they appointed him Nasi over them. Which, by the way, when you think of it, is a very, very rare thing. The Yerushalmi talks about what a tremendous reward they get in Olam Haba for it. You have In fact, the Rishami says you really only have three examples up to that point in Jewish history where you had people did that. People who have a certain high position are resigning it voluntarily and handing it over to somebody else. Usually, unfortunately, it's not like that. You have, let's say, for example, Shaul originally didn't want to be king and he's running away from it. But then once he became king, when he's told that Shaul is when he's told that where he gets a premonition that David is going to be the next king, that he's pursuing him and chasing after him relentlessly. That unfortunately, that's usually how people are. But you have Yonasan, the son of Shaul, the Yerushalmi mentions. He knew that David is going to be the next king, and he voluntarily says to David, "You'll be the next king. I'll be your prime minister." You have Reb Elazar ben Azariah when he was appointed Nasi instead of Reb Gamliel, where later on he resigned or partially resigned the position to allow Reb Gamliel to come back. And now you have here the B'nai B'Seder with Hillel, and the Yerushalmi says, in fact, the B'nai B'Seder are greater than all of them because Yonasan knew already that David had been anointed by Shmuel in Hashem's name. Reb Elazar ben Azariah had already previously, he knew that Reb Gamliel had previously been Nasi, so it's only right that he gets it back, but that the B'nai B'Seder should resign their position and give it to Hillel. That's a very, very rare thing. The Bavli also, in Bava Metzia, mentions this, that there were three great humble people in Jewish history, the B'nai B'Seder, Yonasan, and the third one it mentions over there is Reb Shimon Gamliel, the father of Rebbe. Anyway, it was a very, very rare thing that they should do such a thing. So Vahoyah Durish.
Ben Beseder is a few people, or just that that's the name?
So the name Ben Beseder means a few people. So Marsha refers to, you actually have in different places in Shas, you have Rabbi Yehuda Ben Beseder, you have Rabbi Yeshua Ben Beseder, you have like three different Tanoim whose names are Ben Beseder. So he says that the Pashtus, it means them, although it's a little hard to understand that because those Tanoim of those names, it seemed lived in later times. But still, the Pashtus we're talking about, it was the same family. There was apparently more than one of them. And Marsha says one of them was serving as acting Nasi and the other ones are there supporting him. But now, all of them resigned, that now none of them are going to be the leaders anymore. Now Hillel is going to be the Nasi. So V'hoya Dodesh, Kolayim Kolay, V'hilchas HaPesach, so the whole day long he was darshaning in the Halachas HaPesach. Now, in the course of that, he made a little bit of a mistake. Hischa mekantered on Bedvarim, he started provoking them with words. He started speaking very, very sharply to them, which we'll see soon why he did that. Amalahen, he says to them, Mi goram lachem she'ela mi bavel ve'eya nasi aleichem, who caused it that I should come up from Bavel and become your Nasi? In other words, Marsha explains, he's saying, how did it come, Bashkocha Pratis, that only this year, when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, all of a sudden I had the idea to come from Bavel, and this resulted that I became the Nasi over you. It is Atzlos Shahoy Sebachem. It's because the laziness that you had, Shaloy Shimashtim, Shnei Gdele Ador, Shmaya Vavtalion, you didn't properly serve the two Gdele Ador, Shmaya and Vavtalion, because if you had, then you would have known the answer to this, and you wouldn't have needed me, you wouldn't have needed to call for me, and I never would have needed to become Nasi. So he's criticizing them for that they failed to apply themselves enough to learning Torah. Now, he meant it L'Shem Shemayim in order to spur them that in the future they shouldn't do that. Nevertheless, as the Gemara is going to tell us on Amud Beis, he got punished a little bit for that because he still shouldn't have spoken in that way that sounds a little bit gaivadik. In particular, one of the Mephoshim says he didn't have to mention that I became the Nasi. He could have just said that I came from Bavel. The fact that he's mentioning that he became the Nasi means there was a trace of gaiva, if not in the way he felt. Hillel, we know, was a great anav, but at least in the way that he spoke. So the result was that he forgot something. Amruloi, so they said to him, Rebbe, Shachach v'lehebi sakin me'erev Shabbos mahu. What happens if somebody forgot and didn't bring a knife to shech the Korban Pesach before Shabbos? Now, the Beis Hamikdash had knives, but still, you're talking hundreds of thousands of Korbanos Pesach are being shechted. We said the other day that one year they had 1.2 million Korbanos Pesach. So fine, they're in three shifts. It's 400,000 each shift, but still, they didn't have near enough knives in the Beis Hamikdash for that. So people used to bring their own knives. Actually, Tosfos discusses the question over here, doesn't shechita of Korbanos require a kli shoreis? So actually, there are different Rishonim who argue about that and say maybe the Shchita, in fact, most Avodis of a Korban, of course, require Klei Shoreis. Maybe Shchita does not, seeing as how Shchita is not really an Avoda. After all, even a Zohar can do it. On the other hand, Tosfos over here is learning that it does require a Klei Shoreis. So okay, what it means is they were Makdish their knife. Anyway, so people have to bring their knives. What happened if somebody forgot to bring a knife from Erev Shabbos? Mahu, what do? They can't carry it on Shabbos. They can't carry it on Shabbos through Rosh Hashanah. Tosfos points out that actually there are other Gemaras we learned in Erevin that Yerushalayim is not really necessarily a Rishus Rabbim. Maybe it's only a Carmelis. And since this is something that's necessary for the Korban, maybe it should be able to be done on Shabbos. But Tosfos says that actually there were times, there were periods in history, and this might have been one of those periods when there were big gaps and breaches in the walls of Yerushalayim, and therefore that was enough to make it an actual Rishus Rabbim. So whatever. What does a person do then if they forgot to bring their knife? Amalahen, so Hillel tells them, Halacha zu shamaiti v'shakachti, I did hear from my Rebbeim, Shmaya, and Avtalion what the halacha should be in this case, but I forgot it. As the Gemara is going to say, on what days he was made to forget it, mina shamayim, because of what he had just said to them. Ela hanach lahem liYisrael, but he says, let the Jewish people be. In other words, let's see what they actually do. Im ein neviyin hein b'nei neviyin hein, even if the Jewish people nowadays are not neviyim, this is a few hundred years after Nevuah was over. B'nei Nevi'im hein, they're children of Nevi'im, and therefore we can depend on the Jewish people collectively are going to do the right thing. You have, by the way, a similar expression that the Rashba mentions in a few of his Truvas, that you always have to respect the Minig Yisrael. In one place he even says that even the Minig of old women among the Jewish people, you still have to respect such a Minig. It has a source in Halacha. Anyway, so he says, let's see what they actually do. So, Lamachar, so the next day, Misha Pischeitz, they saw what was going on was as follows. Misha Pischeitzler, whoever's Korban Pesach was a sheep, which has a lot of wool, Toichavai, but Samroi, what he did was he was sticking the knife into the wool of the animal. So it's tangled up in the wool over there. And that way the animal is carrying it. Now you're not allowed to have an, we're going to talk about it on other days, you're not allowed to have an animal carry something for you on Shabbos, but here it's kila'achayat, it's an unusual way of carrying it, so therefore in this case it's not ulcer. And Misha Pischigdi, whoever's Korban Pesach, was a goat, which doesn't have as much wool, Toichavei ben Karnav, so what he would do is he would wedge the knife between the animal's horns. Same idea, it's an unusual way of carrying it, therefore in this case it's not also. Ra Maisa v'nizka halacha, so Hillel saw what they were doing, and then he remembered the halacha, but Omar, and he said, yeah. Yet, this is what I learned from Shmai and Avtalion, that this is the right way to do it. By the way, why are we saying Lamachar? If the discussion was taking place on Erev Shabbos, then they just announced to everybody, make sure you bring your knives before Shabbos. What's Lamachar that we have to see people bringing it in the wool or in the horns? So actually, the Yerushalmi, when it tells the story over there, says Miyad, so meaning, in other words, all this took place on Shabbos, that he was darshining in Hilchos Pesach, and that they asked him what to do with the knives, etc. According to our Gersa over here, Lamachar, one possibility is that the discussion where he was teaching them, and then they asked him the Shiloh, was on Friday night. So Friday night is already Shabbos. It's too late for them to bring the knives. Therefore, only Shabbos, so therefore, of necessity, Shabbos morning, they're bringing them like that. A different answer could be in case you had some people who forgot. Anyway, okay, so thus far the story. Now let's analyze it.
Here we see the Anivis that he said, I forgot.
That he said, I forgot, yeah, that he was, yeah. That he was not, that he, was said it. That he forgot. Yeah, so it was a big thing about Anivis itself, sure. Yeah. Okay, so now let's analyze the story. We said that there's a Gzeira Shava, and it says B'moya Doi by the Korban Pesach. It says B'moya Doi by the Tamid. So we said Ma Moya Doi Ha'omer B'Tamid Doiches Shabbos Af Moya Doi Ha'omer B'Pesach Doiches Shabbos. Okay. So the question now is the Tamid Gufa Minolon. So where do we the Dachi Shabbos? How do we know that the Tamid itself overrides Shabbos and that we bring the Korban Tamid even on Shabbos? Are you going to say just because it says b'mayadoi? Well, then we don't need the gzeira shava at all. Pesach nami oksib b'mayadoi. Then by Korban Pesach it also says b'mayadoi. And if the word b'mayadoi in and of itself means that you bring it on Shabbos, then you don't need the gzeira shava in the first place. Obviously, the answer is that Hillel doesn't hold that the word b'moyadoi in and of itself necessarily means Shabbos. It could mean that you bring it b'moyadoi unless it's on Shabbos, maybe. So, hochanami moyadoi le'mashmalei. Obviously, therefore, by the Korban Pesach also, the word b'moyadoi doesn't automatically mean that, or by the Talmud, rather. The word b'moyadoi doesn't necessarily mean on Shabbos by the Korban Pesach. That's why he had to use a gzeirah shavah. So, the same thing by the Talmud, it doesn't automatically mean on Shabbos. So, where do we know that on Shabbos itself, if you bring the Korban Tamid, Elo Amakra. So no, the reason is because the pasuk says Oilas Shabbos Shabbatai Al Oilas Atamid. The pasuk says about the Musaf of Shabbos, the Oila of Shabbos is brought every Shabbos on, or meaning besides the Oilas Atamid. So in other words, Miklal Ola de Tamid Karva b'Shabbos. So we see that the Ola's Tamid is brought on Shabbos, and now the Torah is telling us on Shabbos, in addition, you bring the Korban Musaf. So you see that the Tamid does take place on Shabbos. So once we know that, then we can use the Gzeira Shava from B'Moyadoi to say that the same thing is true by the Korban Pesach. Okay. We said Omamar v'Oid Kavachomer. Then we continue that Hillel used also a Kavachomer. He said Ma Tamid she'ein onosh kores doiches haShabbos. Ma doch the Korban Tamid, where failure to bring it, there's no isur kores, and yet doiches haShabbos, and yet it overrides Shabbos. He said Pesach she'onosh kores, the Korban Pesach, we're not bringing it as a chiyuv kores. Ain't a dinch doiches haShabbos. Wouldn't it be a Kavachomer that it overrides Shabbos? The Gemara says the problem with that Kavachomer is ikal mifrach. We can slug up that kavachomer. Mala tomid shekain todir the kolil. After all, the korban tomid, first of all, is todir. It's brought every day. So therefore, you could argue that maybe it overrides Shabbos, unlike the korban pesach is only brought once a year. Second of all, it's kolil. It's completely burnt on a mizbeach, which is a higher level of korban. So maybe only that kind of thing is doicha Shabbos, not necessarily the korban pesach, which is only once a year. And which is only brought, and which is not completely burnt on the Mizbeach. The Yerushalmi, when it tells the story, also adds a detail that they mention something called kitzva. Some of the Mephoshim explain that kitzva means a fixed number. In other words, the Korban Tamid, you only have two of them every day. Every day is the same thing. The Korban Pesach, sometimes you can have more Korbanos Pesach, sometimes less. Maybe that kind of thing is not Deucha Shabbos. On the other hand, the Tzlach says that the kitzva of the Yerushalmi is the same as the Todir of Or Gemara. It means, in other words, that there's a fixed thing. You have to bring the Korban Tamid every day, whereas the Korban Pesach you don't bring every day. Anyway, so the Kavachomer can be schlugged up. So the answer is Kavachomer Omel Hubereisha. The Braisa, when it told the story before, is telling us Hillel's arguments out of order. First, he told them the Kavachomer, Opochua. The Bnei Beseda schlugged it up, as we just said. Behadar Omel Hu Gzeira Shava. Then he told them the Gzeira Shava, and that they accepted. So the question is, you can't learn a Gzeira Shava on your own. A Gzeira Shava has to be something that you learned from your Rebbein. So if Hillel already has the Gzeira Shava in his pocket, he learned it from his Rebbein. So why does he need to bother with the Kavachomer at all? Let him just tell him that straight out the Gzeira Shava. The answer is, Ela lididhu ka'amalahu. What it was is Hillel wanted to argue to them according to their own shita. He tells them, "Bishneimak zeda shava legamritu." The zeda shava, fine. I can understand that you're not going to accept the zeda shava off the bat because you didn't learn it from your rebbeim. The einot have done zeda shava matzmah, and after all, a person can't learn a zeda shava on their own. It has to be that they learned it from their rebbeim. You didn't learn it from your rebbeim, so therefore, let's not start with that. Ela kavachomer da adam don me'atzmei, but at least a kavachomer which you can come up with on your own. Iboyel lechulam meidan. Shouldn't you have thought of that kavachomer of yourselves and realized that the Pesach is doicha Shabbos? The kavachomer that we said about Koris. Amrulei kavachomer prichahu, and they answered him, "No, your kavachomer we can slug up because, as we said, the tamid is todir and the tamid is todir and completely burnt on the mizbeach. So therefore, he had to tell them, okay, in that case, then I'll have to use the gzeira shava. Okay, you guys didn't learn it, but nevertheless, I'm telling you, I learned it from Shmaya and Italian that this is a valid gzeira shava." And that they accepted. Which, by the way, explains when Hillel said to them that you weren't Meshamish as Shnei Gdela Ador, Shmai Vavtalion. Now we understand what he means. If you had learned by them properly, you would have learned this Gzeira Shava. Therefore, you wouldn't have had the suffix in the first place. Okay. Continues the story. Omamar, we said Lamacha, we said when they asked what to do as far as the knives, we said the next day, Misha Pesachai Tzler, whoever's Korban Pesach was a sheep, Toichav Leibet Samari, so he would stick the knife into the wool of the sheep and bring it to the Bais Mikdash that way. Gdi, and if it was a goat, Toichav Leibet Kaunov, he would stick it between the animal's horns. The question, first of all, is, Vahaka Ovid Avoida B'Kodshim. Aren't they doing Malacha or Avoida with Kodshim? Now, there's an issue on that. There's an issue. Once you makdish an animal, you're not allowed to do work with it. So Tosfos brings an answer from the Yerushalmi that here, because it's necessary for the korban, then it's not considered avoda b'kodshim. However, the Bavli over here, Or Gemara, does not like that answer. It wants to find an answer that'll work, that not necessarily are we going to say. After all, the knife is not part of the korban itself. It's needed for the korban, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it should be allowed, that you should be allowed to carry it. So the answer is Kehillel. What they did is like what Hillel himself did with his Korbanos. The Tanya, Omru Olaval Hillel, they said about Hillel, Miyomav Leimal Adam Ba'ilase. In all his life, nobody ever committed Me'ilah with an Oila that Hillel was Makdish. Meaning, in other words, you could always have Hillel is Makdish an animal, or anybody is Makdish an animal, and by mistake, between the time when you were Makdish it, and when you bring it as a Korban, somebody could accidentally use the animal, and then they're being over on Me'ilah. Hillel took steps to avoid that. What would he do? Elam via Cholin la'azara, he would bring it to the Azara still as Cholin, or Makdisha, then he would be Makdish it right there, the Semech Yadeh Aleha, and then immediately afterwards he would do Smicha on it, like you do with an Oila and most Korbanos, the Shechta, and right away Shecht it, so that way there's very little time between being Makdish it and Shechting it, and that way there's very little time for anybody to accidentally do Me'ilah with it. Tosfos over here discusses, when we say he brought it into the Azara, isn't there a problem of bringing Cholin into the Azara? Tosfos says that no, because he's bringing it in, he's not actually doing anything with Korbanos with it yet until he's Makdish it. Therefore, it's not also to bring it in as Cholin Ba'azara. On the other hand, the Ran, elsewhere, learns that in fact that would be a problem, so he says it doesn't mean he would bring it actually into the Azara, it means he'd bring it right outside the door of the Azara, and then he'd be Makdish it and then bring it right in. But still, it means there's very little time from when he's Makdish it until he shechts it. Okay, so the point is, these people would do the same thing. We would tell them, don't be makdish your Korban Pesach in advance. Be makdish it only when you bring it to the Azara. So that way, the whole way, you're carrying the knife to there, so that it's not Kodosh yet and there's no Issur of Avodah with it. Okay. So the question is, in that case, Pesach b'Shabbos hechi mati makdish lei. In that case, how can you be makdish the Korban Pesach when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos? We learn in a Mishnah in Beitza. Ein makdishin, you're not allowed to declare something hekdish, the ein ma'arichin, or to make a vow of an erech, to say erki olai, or erech pleni olai, that I owe the erech of so and so to the bismikdash, where we know you look up in Parshas Bechukosai based on the person's age and gender, and you give that amount to the bismikdash. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. The ein machrimin, you're not allowed to declare something cherem, which is a form of, there's two different kinds of cherem, cherem koinem, cherem lagavoya, whatever, it's a form of declaring something hekdish. All of those things you're not allowed to on Yom Tov Midrabanon because it's like buying and selling. The Ein Magbiyin Truma or Maisris, you're not allowed to take off Truma and Maiser. Again, part of the reason is because it's like being Makdish it. And another reason is, like we talked before about Hazah, is because now it's fixing the fruit and making that now you're able to eat it where before you weren't. So it's like fixing something on Yom Tov. Kol Eilu B'Yom Tov Amru Kamachoy B'Mashabbos. And the Mishnah finishes off, all these things you're not allowed to do on Yom Tov, how much more so on Shabbos? So if you're going to say that people were Makdish their Korban Pesach before Shabbos, okay, they're allowed to do that. But then you have the question, how they're having the animal, carry the knife for them. If you're going to say they did like Hillel, and they're only makdish the korban when they bring it to the Beis Mikdash, then the Mishnah we just quoted says you're not allowed to be makdish on Shabbos. The answer is hani mili b'chovas she'en kavur lahem zman. That only applies to korbanos that a person has to bring, but there's no fixed time. They don't have to bring them that day. Therefore, don't be makdish it on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. Be makdish it another time and then bring it. But when you have an obligatory korban where there's a fixed time for it, like here, the korban Pesach has to be brought on Erev Pesach, makdishin, that you could be makdish on Shabbos or on Yom Tov. The Amar Rabbi Yechanan, as in fact we find Rabbi Yechanan says, makdish adam as pischei b'Shabbos v'chagigos b'Yom Tov. A person can be makdish his korban Pesach on Shabbos, or his korban chagiga on Yom Tov. Now, we're going to learn later on in our perek, we're going to learn about the chagiga that they brought on the 14th of Nisan in order to be able to eat together with the korban Pesach. We're not talking about that one, because that one, in fact, was not brought on Shabbos. When Erev Pesach was on Shabbos, they wouldn't bring that chagiga. What we mean is the chagiga that a person would bring during Yom Tov itself. It's called chagigas chamisha asar, where they bring, which the Masechta Chagiga talks about it, that kind, you have a chiyuk to bring during Yom Tov or during Chol HaMoed, so that you're allowed to be makdish on Yom Tov. So that takes care of that. So they were makdish, the korban Pesach on Shabbos, and they're allowed to because the korban has to be brought that day. Okay, so the next question is, V'halo mechamer, isn't he doing the isser of leading an animal carrying a burden on Shabbos? So it's not a full-fledged malacha, maybe, but it still is osur. We learned about it in the last perek of Shabbos, that that you're not allowed to have your animal do malacha for you on Shabbos either. In this case, the animal is doing malacha. It's carrying the knife, and you're leading it. You're making it go. So how are you allowed to do that? The answer is mechamer kel achayad. The answer is you're doing it in an unusual way, because it's not usual for a sheep to carry a knife in the first place, so therefore it's an unusual way. So the question is, so what if it's kalachayad? Nihidi isura daraisa leka. Okay, there's no isur daraisa. Isura midrabanon miyayika. Isn't there still an isur drabanon? And we learned in the Mishnah that even isurim drabanon we don't allow for the sake of the Korban Pesach. So the Gemara says that was exactly the question. Hainu de kaboy mine. That is exactly what Bnei Besera were asking Hillel. Given that you have davar sheyesh lehetter min haTorah, you have over here where it is mutter min haTorah because it's not regular mechamer, it's only kalachayat, so it's only dirabanan. And furthermore, it's not even as strong as regular dirabanans because doing something kalachayat is unusual. But you have nevertheless a shvus that's standing in the way of it and saying that maybe even you can't do it kalachayad, b'makom mitzvah mai. What about in this case where it would prevent the person from shechting his Korban Pesach? Do we apply that issue to Rabbanon or do we not? Maybe we say in this case it's a lesser shavus than other we had in the Mishnah, the various shavus in which we said we're not doicha Shabbos for, but maybe this one is more lenient than them because it's kalachayad and because you're not even doing it, the animal is doing it. So that was the question, and that was the answer. Amalah answer, he tells them, halacha zu shamayti v'shachachti, I learned this halacha, but I forgot it. Ela hanichu lehem l'Yisrael, amein neviyin en, b'nei neviyin en, but we can depend on what the Jewish people will do, and sure enough, they figured out, then sure enough, they knew what to do by putting the knife and the ruler between the horns.
Now, how they actually leading is another problem. If you're leading it,
That's the thing. Mechama means leading an animal that's carrying a burden. But the answer is, since over here, the people themselves are not doing the malacha, only the animal is doing it, and it's kalachayad, so therefore there's more room to be lenient. In fact, Tosfos explains exactly that. Even though in the Mishnah we said various dirabanans are also, but here, because it's shvus behemta, it's an isur dirabanan for his animal to be carrying something la'achayad and him to be leading the animal. So therefore, we're not going to be gozer on that.
And would it be considered shvus benignus? That we have
that's true, but that's only in the Mishmikdash itself. Here we're talking about coming from your Shalayim with the knives. If they had the knives in the Harabais to begin with, then they'd be allowed to carry them to the Mishmikdash anyhow. The whole Harabais was surrounded by walls. Tosfos, by the way, points out they could have conceivably done it in another way. We learned at the end of Shabbos, conceivably, what they could have done is they could have had the animal start walking, then put the knife on top of the animal and take it off before the animal stops walking. We learned in Masechta Shabbos, you have the case where a person has his purse with him when Shabbos comes in, and he has no goy to give it to, and he has no cheresh shot of a cotton to give it to. So we said, and in those cases, what he does is he does exactly that. He puts it on the animal while it's walking and takes it off before it stops moving, so that way there's never any akira v'hanocha. So they could have done it this way as well. But instead, they didn't have to. They're doing it kalachayad, so that itself makes it mutter. Okay. So now a piece of agadda on the subject. Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, kol amis yaher, if a person acts in a proud, gaivadik way, im chocham hu, if he's a chocham, chochmasim is talekas mimenu, then his chochma goes away from him. Im Navi hu, and if he's a Navi, Nivuasim is Talekas Mimenu, then his Nivuah goes away from him. Where do we have examples of that? Im Chochamu Chochmasim is Talekas Mimenu Mihilol. We have the example of Hillel over here. The Amamar Hischo Makantan and Midvarim. First, we're saying that he's provoking them and speaking sharply to them and saying that what caused that I became Nasi over you is that you didn't learn by Shmaya and Avtalian properly. And sure enough, the Ka'amalu, when the next thing is, he has to tell them Halachazu Shamaiti Veshachachti. That I learned this halacha and I forgot it. So we see that as a mina shamayim, he was made to forget it. He was made to forget it because he had acted with a little bit of yuara, or at least he had spoken in a way that implies yuara, even if he was doing it l'shem shamayim. And im navihu nevuasim estalekas mena, we have the example of devoira. We have the example of devoira. This week's haftarah. Dichtiv chodlu frozen biyisro chodelu. The pasuk is, he's describing in the shira how unwalled cities ceased from among the Jewish people, because she's describing how in the times of the Shoftim right before her, it was a very dangerous time in Eretz Yisrael, and people were afraid to live in unwalled cities because they could be attacked by the Goyim. So Chodlu Frozen B'Yisrael, unwalled cities ceased among the Jewish people. Chodelu, they had ceased. Everybody's huddling in the big cities. Ad Shakamti Devoda, until I arose, Devoda, Shakamti Aim B'Yisrael, I arose as a mother in the Jewish people. So that sounds like a little bit of Yuara. It sounds like she's putting down the leaders who were before her and saying, but on the other hand, I did so much better. Uchtim, and then a couple of psukim later, she has to say, Uri, Uri, Devoda, awake, awake, Devoda, Uri, Uri, Dabri Shir, awake, awake, and speak a song. In other words, like the spirit of Nevuah had left her, and like she has to re-arouse it in herself. So we see that her spirit of Nevuah had left her because she spoke with this Yuhara. Marsha explains a little bit differently. What it is when she mentions Ad Shakamti Devoda, where's the credit to Barak? Barak also helped with it, after all. He's the one, together with her, who gathered together the army to fight against Sisera. So now she makes up for that. She corrects that a few psukim later. This pasuk, Uri, Uri Devoda, the end of that same pasuk, she continues, Kum Barak Ushadeh Shevyacha Ben Abinoyam. So she gives the credit to Barak as well. So we see that originally she lost her Nevuah because she gave the credit only to herself, and now she had to re-arouse her Nevuah, and then she gave the credit to Barak as well. Okay. Rish Lakish, Omar, Rish Lakish says further on this, Kol Adam Shekoyes, if a person gets angry, Im Chacham Hu Chachmasim Istalekas Menu, if he's a Chacham, then his Chachma goes away from him temporarily, Im Navi Hu Nevuasim Istalekas Menu, and if he's a Navi, then his Nevuah goes away from him. Where do we see this? Im Chacham Hu Chachmasim Istalekas Menu Mi Moshe, we have the example of Moshe Rabbeinu, We find it says that Moshe got angry at the officers. This is after Milchemes Midyan, when they came back with many captives, including many women, and Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry at them and says, "Hayitochen, you left alive the women." They were the ones who were involved with the whole thing of Pa'ur. Uchtiv, and then a few psukim later, Vayomer El Ozer Akoyin El Anshat Savah Aboyim LaMochama. El Ozer Akoyin had to tell the soldiers who are coming home from the war. Zos Chokas Atorah Ashat Siva Hashemas Moshe. Remember, this is the rule that Hashem told Moshe about kashering and tovaling and kalim that you got from Midian, that you captured from Midian. The point is that Moshe had forgotten the halacha, and Elazar needed to tell it to them. Marsha points out, by the way, you have a few other examples in the Torah where Moshe got angry as well. The reason, and in those also we have, that he forgot a halacha. For example, you have in Parshas Shmini, he got angry at Elazar and Isamo for burning one of the korbanos, and then it turned out that he had forgotten the halacha, that particular korban they weren't allowed to eat. However, the Gemara wants to give an example over here where we see very, very clearly that Moshe had forgotten the halacha. There we darshan it from the psukim, but here we see it very, very clearly because Elazar is saying in Moshe Rabbeinu's name that you have to kasher and tovel the kalim. In other words, so Moshe himself knew the halacha, but obviously he had forgotten it, and therefore Elazar had to speak up. By the way, we learned in Eruvin that Elazar himself got a shtickle punishment for that, because after all, okay, Moshe forgot the halacha, he shouldn't have jumped in and told the soldiers the halacha, he should have waited until Moshe remembered it himself. So for that, the Gemara tells us in Eruvin, what should have happened was when Yeshua took over, that he has to always ask Elazar HaKohen for advice through the Urim V'Tumim, and we don't actually find in the Psukim that he ever did. That was the punishment that Elazar got. But in any case, we see that Moshe got angry, and he forgot a halacha because of that. So we see that Moshe himself had forgotten the halacha, and Elazar had to tell it over. We said, Im Navi hu nevuasim istalekas mimenu, how do we know that if a Navi gets angry, then his Nevuah goes away from him? We see this from Elisha. We see this from a story involving Elisha. So in Malachim Beis, the pasuk tells us a story that you had the king of Yehuda and the king of Yisrael and the king of Edom are all going to fight against Moab. They're going through the desert. They end up they're running out of water and they're desperate. And they decide to go to Elisha and ask him for Nevuah to be able to daven for them and be able to help them. So Elisha, when he sees them, he gets very angry at Yehoram, Melech Yehuda, and he says, "Go away from here. You worship Abed Azara. What do you need me, a Navi of Hashem, for? You want Nevuah? Go to the Nevi'im of Baal that of Baal that you and your parents worship. What do you need me for?" So then, dichtiv, so the next pasuk continues. So they ask him, please don't do that. Please don't blow us off like that. So he says, lulei pneya shofet melech Yehuda ani noise. If it weren't for the fact that I'm favoring the face of Yehoshafat melech Yehuda, who after all, unlike you, is a tzaddik, im abit elecha v'im eriakav agomer, if not for that, I wouldn't even look at you, and I wouldn't even notice you, and I wouldn't even look at you. So we see that he got angry at Yehoram. And then the next pasuk continues, "Va'ata kuli menagin." Now bring for me a singer, v'hoya, or play, person playing an instrument, whatever. V'hoya kenagin, I'm a nagin, as the person was playing the music. Vatiol of Yad Hashem, then the spirit of Hashem came on Elisha. In other words, that he needed the music in order to get rid of his anger, to dispel his anger, and get back in a good mood, so that Nevuah could come back to him. Another thing in this connection about getting angry, Amar of Mani bar Patish, Kol Shekoyas, a person who gets angry, Afilu Poiskin Olav Gdula Minashamayim, even if Minashamayim, it was decided that he should have greatness, Meridin Oiso, he's brought down from it because he's an angry person. Menolon Me Eliyav, where do we see this from? We see this from the story of Eliyav, David's eldest brother. Now you have, where do we see that Eliyav got angry? So you have, when the Pesukim describe how David had come to, the Jewish people are fighting against the Plishtim. This was the time when Goliath came out and is insulting the Jewish people and the Abishter and whatever, and everybody is afraid to fight him. So David one day shows up over there with supplies for his brothers. And then he finds out what's going on, that every day Goliath is coming out over there and insulting the Jewish people and claiming that even Hashem can't beat him, etc., etc. So he says, you know, something should really be done about that. So then the pasuk says, Vayichar af Eliyav b'David. Eliyav got angry at David. Vayomer, and he says, Lama ze yaradta, why'd you come here in the first place? Va'almina tashta ma'ata tzayna hena b'midbar. With whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? Ani yadaiti es zedoncha v'esroel v'avecha. Eliyav continues, I know your wickedness and the evil of your heart, that you only came down here in order to see the battle. In other words, you're a very irresponsible kid that you're leaving the sheep over there that you're supposed to be taking care of and coming over here in order to watch the battle. So we see that Eliyav got angry at David without any good reason. Now, previously, when Shmuel had come to anoint one of the sons of Yishai as the next king, now about the second and third and fourth, each one, when Shmuel was going, thought maybe to anoint them, each one he was told, Hashem didn't choose this one. In other words, to begin with, Hashem never chose that one. But over Eliyav Ksiv, what does it say by Eliyav? When he first sees Eliyav, he's very impressed. He says, "Ach neged Hashem Meshichai, surely this must be the one that Hashem is going to anoint." But Vayomer Hashem al Shmuel. But the pasuk says, Hashem says to Shmuel, "Al tabet al marehu, don't look at his beautiful appearance that he's so tall. Ve'al gvoya kaimasa, and to his height, ki ma'astihu, because I have rejected him." Now, what if the expression rejected implies that originally Hashem wanted him and then rejected him? Which means that originally Hashem desired him and would have wanted to give him greatness. But now, because he's an angry person, then Ma'asihu, then Hashem says, I rejected him. So we see that even though he was destined originally, Minashamayim, that he should have greatness, then nevertheless, because he got angry, he lost that. Now, Rashi points out, I mean, the Pesukim are out of order over here. This, that he got angry at David, took place after the anointing. The anointing is in Shmuel Aleph Perek Tes Zayin. The story with Goliath and with Eliyav and David is in Perek Yud Zayin. But still, the fact is, we don't find any other, if we're saying that the Eivishter says about Eliyav Ma'astihu, that I rejected him, there has to be some reason. We don't find any other character flaw in Eliyav that's mentioned in the Pesuk, except this, that he got angry. So therefore, we put two and two together and say that it means he was an angry kind of person, and therefore, the Eivishter rejected him. In fact, Marashah says, this is the same pasuk that says, Ma'asihu continues, that Hashem says, Hashem yira la'levav, Hashem sees into the person's heart, meaning that Hashem sees that his heart, he has an angry heart, he's an angry kind of person, as we see later on, he did to David, and therefore Hashem says, I don't want him as king. By the way, the Rif over here on Ein Yaakov points out, so what about Moshe and Elisha? We don't see, we see that temporarily they lost their Chochmah and they lost their Nevuah. We don't find that they were demoted because of that. So he says, right, what the Gemara doesn't mean that a person is necessarily going to lose the high position that he already has because he gets angry. What we mean is, if he was supposed to have a high position, at this point, Eliyav didn't yet have any high position. He's just the eldest of Yishai's sons. He should have, by rights, been given a high position, even the kingship, but he was rejected because he was angry. In the case of Moshe and Elisha, they're already the leaders, so therefore they're not demoted from that just because they got angry. They just temporarily lost their chachmah or their nevuah. Different answer also, some of the mafarshim say, is very simple. Moshe and Elisha, we don't find that they habitually got angry. One time or a couple of times we have they got angry for reasons that in and of themselves are relatively appropriate, and still we're saying that they shouldn't have done that. In the case of Eliyahu, he's getting angry with no justification. He has no reason to yell at David like that, and it seems that it was more of an ongoing tendency of his. So therefore, because of that, he lost the high position, he lost the kingship or whatever high position that he should have had. Okay. So that's the end of the piece of Agadah, and tomorrow we'll continue, Be'ez Hashem, with talking more about this business about the Tumid and the Pesach. We said they're Doicha Shabbos. Tomorrow we'll discuss how we know that also both of them are Doicha Tumah, and then that's going to get us into a general discussion of the various Tmeim and where they have to be, which zones are the Tmeim allowed and not allowed, and the different kind of Tmeim. That'll be the subject tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.
Yes, Shekoyach.